Welcome to the Let's Grow podcast, where you will learn marketing, entrepreneurship, culture, politics, and more. Now sit back and get ready to stimulate your mind with host Fabian De Rossi.
Welcome to the Let's Grow podcast. I, of course, am Fabian De Rossi, your host, and today I want to get into something that a lot of people have been asking me about because of the uncertainty that has come along with the subject I'm about to tell you about right now. And that subject is the future of Hollywood, more specifically Hollywood nightlife. So we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about my Egypt trip because I just got back from Egypt last week. So I wanted to go ahead and talk about it, how beautiful it is, what you need to know, all about the pyramids, the secrets about the pyramids, when you go inside it, which typically you don't get to do, and also about what you should do if you want to travel right now. I mean, a lot of people are in a position where they want to go, they have the means to go, but they just don't know where. And even if you go somewhere, what are the restrictions? Is it worth it? So we're going to talk about that a bit. We're also going to talk about, unfortunately, RIP to my camera lens that I just broke today, actually. So I was going to film this, but because of the fact that I broke my camera lens, I have to wait until Amazon delivers a new one in a few days. So let's start with the Hollywood nightlife, because that's the trending topic that everyone wants to hear about. Hollywood nightlife. It's been closed. All nightlife has been closed since March. So that is about, at this point, it's about 7 months ago. Ironically, that's the last time I lifted weights was in March too. So that was the last month that everything was normal before we had the big shutdown. Now what's happened since then is imagine you own a club and you haven't been open for 7 months and you don't see any chance of reopening for the next, possibly till next summer. And even when you do open finally, when the government lets you open, what's going to happen? What's your capacity going to be? What kind of restrictions are you going to have to follow? Are people even going to want to come to your establishment at this point because of the risk of possibly getting coronavirus? Are we going to have a vaccine? And if we do have a vaccine, how long is it going to protect you for? So are you only going to go to the clubs when you're in the window of safety after you've had the vaccine? So there's tons of things that we don't even know. We don't even know what to ask in order for us to kind of figure out what's going to happen. If you can't ask the question, you have to frame the question first in order for you to make a decision about what you will do or how things will play out. So we're in a really tricky situation. Now, one, you know, people who I do feel bad for are the people who work in the clubs. You know, we'll get to the club owners and the club openings and closings in a second, but just the people who work in the clubs, some of my, you know, good friends across the years, the waitresses, the barbacks, the hostess, the promoters, the security, you know, it's one big messed up family we are here in Hollywood, in the Hollywood nightlife scene. It's not that big as far as the people involved in it. So after a while, you get to know everyone. And the people who I feel bad for are the people who were just doing nightlife. I mean, they were doing nothing else. So let's say, for instance, a promoter in Hollywood now has no job for 6 months, 7 months. No other stream of income. Like, what are they to do? And it's not like being in nightlife. Well, if you're just a promoter, it's not like that looks, you know, you can go to any job and try to find a different job. No, I mean, you're in Hollywood nightlife. So if you try to get the same job that you have now, it's going to be impossible because there are no clubs open. Compared to if you were a salesman for, let's just say, a loan company. I mean, there are many loan companies available. You can go try to get a job with one of them. So this goes back to one of the the primary things I always talk about, you know, coming from marketing, being a marketer, teaching people how to make money and passive incomes online, is you have to have a second stream of income, a third, a fourth, a fifth. I mean, get as many streams of income as you possibly can. And just, this is why I've been just traveling all year. I rode my bicycle across America for a month. I've been in Turkey and Egypt and Canada and East Coast, and I'm going to Costa Rica in a week or two, you know, just because I'm able to do this and make a passive income online working for my computer. So if you're interested in doing that and creating a second source of income, I recommend going to my website, FabianDeRossi.com, where I have tons of courses there, free downloads, and a lot of information on exactly what that even means and exactly how to do it step by step. So going back to the clubs, we don't think anything's going to be open until next year. That is the word going around, because you got to figure nothing's going to happen until after the election. So now that puts us at November. Nothing will happen until we have a vaccine. And that could be, from all accounts, from what I'm hearing, February, March of next year. Now, that's as long as we don't have any kind of distribution problems when those vaccines finally do happen. Then we got to figure out a means of testing people when they come in to a place, because now what they're talking about is the swabs take too long. India and Israel developed a test that you get the result in 30 seconds. So will we have that test? Will there be an extra fee to get in places if the company, or the, let's say the nightclub, has to foot that bill for all those tests? How much are they going to cost? I mean, if you let 500 people in a night and each one of those tests costs a dollar, it's very weird, because who's going to foot that bill if you do have to test people before they come in? And that actually makes it even more complicated, because who is licensed to give that test out? Are the clubs going to have to pay a nurse to be there to do it? How long is that going to take? How slow is that going to make the lines to get in? And being selective as it already is in Hollywood, these door guys, think about it. If you're a door guy, you first have to select who can even come into the club. People who are known, clients, etc. After that, what, are you going to have to take a test after you get the okay from the door guy to come in? Do you have to take a test to then be able to actually enter the club? And what would that do if you're a client and you have a reservation for a table for, let's just say, $2,000, and you have your entire crew, and then you, the singular person who's going to pay for the bill, test positive for coronavirus? Now, as a club, you have to turn away that person. So, you know, the more I think about this, the more complicated it gets, the more unknowns they are. So if you're a club owner, you're sitting around thinking, what the heck's going to happen to my business? I mean, hopefully, you know, they've worked out things with the government or whoever they leased the land from, etc. But I know for a fact that about 50% of all the clubs at this point, from what I hear, are going to close for good. Now, that's a harsh number to accept, and that's a harsh reality. And I'm sure that's not only here in Hollywood, that's all around the world, but here in Hollywood, we have our nightlife is the premier nightlife in essentially the entire world. This is still Hollywood. You know, I know Dubai is great, and you know, Ibiza and Miami, but this is still Hollywood. Like, nothing compares to this, not even New York, as far as like the visibility and the way that we create culture and fashion trends and music trends, and it spreads across the entire. I mean, this is the entertainment capital of the world. And right now, the closest that you can get to a club is a restaurant that is a little bit lax on how many people they let sit inside of a table. Now, there are some things popping up here and there. There are light clubs, but super strict. I mean, you cannot go from your table to another table to go visit people. The same is true in Vegas right now. Vegas is reopening as far as the clubs, but you're limited to 6 people at a table, and you cannot invite more people to a table, and you cannot go to other tables. I've heard friends tell me stories of these, you know, new clubs that are opening up in Hollywood that, you know, I go and I can't go and say hi to a girl if I want to go talk to her. I have to sit at my table with the people I came with and just look at other people. It's not, at that point, it's not even worth it. To say nothing of the fact that you have to actually have a table to get in. So there's no general admission for these things. It's essentially like a bagatelle type dinner party where you just sit at the table and you drink and you listen to music. So people have been trying to do it. There have been some clubs that opened before we got reshut down. They had to close right away. People were just, it was weird. I saw people's Instagrams of videos of it, and it just, everyone seemed uneasy. Like, everyone was trying to have fun, but you know that in the back of their mind, they kept thinking, like, I hope I don't get this. I don't want to take this home to my parents or grandparents or any family members or roommates. But I would say about half of the clubs that you know now probably will not be open when the coronavirus, when this whole pandemic is finally, not over, but it's manageable. And it's going to be weird. But everything else is weird right now. So if that's the case, everything will just be, it'll be as weird as everything else. And on that note, I did want to talk about Egypt. Because if you follow my social media, which you should, you'd have seen that I went to Egypt and it was amazing. I mean, it was something that I've always wanted to go to, or somewhere I've always wanted to go to and visit. I just hadn't come up on the list. And because of the fact that we're so limited into where we can go now and travel to, it presented the perfect opportunity for me to finally check that off the bucket list. And I gotta tell you, I've been all over the world. I've seen the most beautiful sights. I've seen most of the 7 wonders of the world. I've just seen man-made wonders, natural wonders, everything. But when you see the pyramids of Giza in Egypt, to know that it was built so long ago by just sheer human power. I mean, some of the stats that they were telling us on the tour was that 200,000 slaves worked to make those pyramids. Think about that. 200,000 slaves is the number that I heard. One basketball stadium is only about 20,000. So imagine that. How big a stadium is, and you have 10 of those stadiums. Those are all slaves working. So a lot of people say, oh, well, it must have been aliens because there's no way that you could have done that. They're so big. No. If you have human power, enough of it, you can do anything. I mean, look at everything that we've done has been with human power, especially back then. But to go back to what I was saying is these pyramids are some of the most, besides the Taj Mahal in India, I think this is the most beautiful old man-made structure I've ever seen in my life. And I say that with conviction. You know, Angkor Wat in Cambodia is beautiful. But the sheer size of this is something that even now looks massive to us. And back then, I put myself in the position of somebody who was living in Egypt during that time. There was nothing else in the world that even touched the magnificence of and the grandeur and the size of the pyramids. So when those pharaohs told you that you better listen to the gods, and the biggest building that you've seen is a little hut that's half a story in today's metrics, and then you go see this pyramids that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet tall, which back then was covered in marble. There was no stones that you could see back then. That was actually a king, a pharaoh, who decided that he wanted to take off all that marble and build a mosque in Cairo with that marble, which is one of the dumbest decisions I think you could have done. And I just think about being a soldier in that time, like, man, this guy is going to ruin this beautiful white pyramid. It was like a white pyramid, solid marble. So people think that the way it looks right now is because it's old. No, it's not because it's old. It's because they actually took off that marble. And what a lot of people don't know is it's not just one or two pyramids. It's an entire complex. So the males had the three biggest ones, the ones that we typically see in the picture. But the wives of the pharaohs also had smaller pyramids built around. And the slaves had grave sites, which they're still finding there. When I was riding a horse to the backside of the pyramid, they had just found tons of new slave graves and were excavating them. I mean, you got to think how many thousands of years that's been, and they're still finding grave sites. And this is not like miles away from the pyramids. No, this is in the same pyramid complex. They're still finding tons of stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. So I suggest if anyone ever gets a chance to go to Egypt, do it. I mean, you're not going to be disappointed in what you see. And if you stay anywhere, stay somewhere called Mena House. It's a Marriott hotel. It used to be the king of Egypt's castle. And Marriott had they went into partnership with them. And they built a hotel, beautiful hotel, right on the steps of the pyramid. So when you look outside your window, that's the pyramids. When you have breakfast at the hotel, you're overlooking the pyramids. If you follow my social media, Fabian Lux, on Instagram, you can see that we're literally having breakfast in front of the pyramids. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. Not only are the pyramids of Giza beautiful, but we also went to the Red Sea. It's about a five-hour drive to a city called Hurghada, H-U-R-G-A-D-A, Hurghada. And it is absolutely beautiful. It reminds you of a big resort city. There's tons of resorts, tons of hotels. The water is as blue as I've ever seen, other than probably Hawaii. And it's magnificent. You go, you can relax. It's cheap. Well, comparatively speaking, compared to America or Europe or places like that. And it's very relaxing, very peaceful ocean. Of course, on the other side is Saudi Arabia, so it's not like you're going to have big waves coming in on the beach. But I definitely suggest checking that out. If you do go to Egypt, it's only a five-hour car ride or a one-hour plane ride, but it's well worth it. You're going to get your money's worth, and you're going to get some amazing, amazing memories and experiences that you never thought you were going to have. So that was the Europe trip, and big shout-out to my buddy. Really took care of us. He's a prince of Saudi Arabia. He saw my social media that I was going to go there and sent me a message. And he said, bro, why didn't you tell me you were going? And I said, well, I thought you lived in Saudi, but he has a lot of business there. He has stables right by the pyramid, and he really took care of us, man. I have to give him a big shout out. Thank you. Because he sent his stable master with the carriage, a horse and carriage, to our hotel to pick us up. Let us drive the carriage like I felt like I was in Chariots of Fire. We were driving the horse and carriage like a chariot around the pyramids. He said, do whatever you want. We went inside the pyramids. We can even take pictures, which is something you cannot do. I mean, if they find you take a picture there, they like to delete it or whatever. After that, we went on camels. We went around the Sphinx. And after all this is said and done, we get back on the horse and carriage, go outside the pyramid complex, and there's a random drive up. Like, we're in a horse. We're in a carriage, and he's driving the horse. You don't drive a horse. You commandeer, you steer a horse, you whatever. And we go to a drive up beer stop. We get a Heineken, And I'm thinking this is all said and done. But then we go to a house and they bring two horses for us. Now, I've never ridden a horse in my life. I've ridden everything except a horse. But we had these horses and he says, bro, we're going to go on the backside of the pyramids where people can't really go. So he went to this crazy looking gate with all these guards. I don't know what he said to him. Apparently he knew him. They let us in. And we were riding the horses, or walking the horses on the backside of the pyramid. And, you know, stable master asked me, he goes, do you want to have a gallop? And I said, I don't even know how to steer this thing. You just showed me how to make it turn, how to make it stop. I have a bad back, bulging discs right now. The last thing I want to do is fall off a horse while it's galloping in the desert behind the pyramids and have to go to the hospital with a blown out disc or something. I mean, I've torn my Achilles on a 3-day hike in Thailand, and that sucked. No medical care, wrap it up, take ibuprofen, and get on with it. So I know how bad it is to get really hurt in a random country. So I said, no, I'm good. I'm just going to walk it. The girl I was with, Rachel, told him, yeah, you know, I know how to ride a horse or how to gallop on it or, you know, how to make it go fast, whatever you call it. And he goes, perfect. And he makes a sound that apparently you make because, you know, these horses were his horses, his stable master, he trained them. So he goes, hop, hop, hop. And the horse immediately recognized that as run, and the horse started, you know, took off. The problem was, is my horse heard it too. And he got the notification, and he thought it was time for him to run. So my horse books it, and we're in the middle of the desert, so it can go anywhere. There's not like a route. We're just literally on sand dunes behind the pyramids, and a horse starts going ba ba ra ra, and I grab on the saddle for dear life because I know if I fall down with my back the way it is, I'll be in a world of hurt. So for 3 days after, my forearms are sore because I was grabbing that saddle so tight. But I'll tell you, that was an amazing experience. I mean, just the amount of things that we were able to do there is, you know, really incredible. And the fact that it was really empty, as comparatively speaking, to typically how it is in the summertime with tons of tourists and things like that come, it was relatively empty. You know, not many people are traveling right now, so we really got a chance to see the pyramids in its natural beauty. And that was Egypt. So I definitely suggest anyone and everyone going there. And now I want to talk about my beautiful camera lens that I broke today. I was going to shoot this episode on video. I was getting everything ready. And my tripod fell forward. So the lens of the camera hit the table. And it pushed the lens in and it got stuck. So the camera would not zoom. It could not focus on anything. So I go on YouTube and I look at a video on how to disassemble and fix this lens, okay? Now, I've never opened a camera lens. This is something you don't want to do. These lenses are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. This one specifically was $400. And I had just gotten it 3 weeks ago, okay? If you follow my social media again, You'll see that I posted about this lens. I just got it. It was beautiful. It was a 1.4 aperture, beautiful lens for the Sony. And I open it up, and I'm watching these YouTube videos, and I'm sure you've done the same at home or wherever you're at right now listening, but I'm sure you try to follow along on a YouTube video, and it looks easy when the guy's doing it, and then you do it, and you see motherboards, and you see these wires and cords, and I mean, these camera lenses, I have it in my hand right now, are so complicated. Like, the engineers who designed these damn things are just insane. I mean, it's like a troika, one of those Russian dolls that you put inside, and then there's a smaller one inside and a smaller one inside. That's pretty much what a camera lens is. And it all stacks, and you have to get these little divots right in a perfect place to make it. Long story short, it broke. And I broke it more. So, with that being said, I want to rest in peace to my camera lens. I had to order another one because, you know, the show must go on. But it hurt. You know, that's $400 that I had to spend, $800 I had to spend in a matter of 3 weeks for my camera lens. So we'll be back better than ever very, very soon. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know, you know, we talked a lot about nightlife. Unfortunately, it probably won't be the same for a while. When it does open, there are many barriers to opening. You know, to say nothing of the fact that the manner in which it will be open is going to be something we have to wait and see. We don't even know anything at this point. But we do know that a lot of these places aren't going to be open when time comes around. Now, if there's something to be said about the memory of a club and the good times. So all these clubs that are not, you know, no longer open, I'm sure everyone listening has had a great time at a club that's no longer open. So this will be the same way. But for the meantime, nothing's changing. We got to get this vaccine first, and we have to get the election over with. Hopefully things going back to normal a little bit more. But time will tell. And as far as Egypt, beautiful place. Definitely on the bucket list. It should be on the bucket list for anyone listening to this right now. Highly suggested. If you want to know where to go in Egypt, my social media is Fabian Lux on Instagram, at Fabian Lux, L-U-X-E. So shoot me a DM. I'll be more than happy to give you recommendations, tell you where we stayed, tell you what to do, and more importantly, what not to do and what to avoid. Okay. But that being said, I'm glad that you shared this time with me. I'm glad I was able to divulge some secrets to you. I didn't want to specifically mention any clubs by name because, you know, I feel bad for some of the owners and I just don't want to put them on blast. But, you know, it is what it is. The world is tough. Businesses fail. We all fail at some point in life. But today, we are not failing. We are succeeding unless you're my camera lens. And with that being said, I want to thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast because there's a lot of great content coming up. I guarantee it. This is Fabian De Rossi, and I will see you next time.